to the VIP Show podcast. This is José Aristimuño, bringing you the biggest names in the game of business, entrepreneurship, and life to help you level up, get inspired, and become the most successful you. You already know the VIP Show. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the VIP Show. I'm your host, José Aristimuño. Folks, it is crazy to me that Q1 of 2024 is already behind us. We're already in Q2. Full force, folks. And before you know it, it'll be 2025, you know. So I always tell people, you know, you can reminisce and you can reflect a little bit of sort of what's happened, you know, in the last couple of months. But you got to look forward, right? I'm a big visionary. I believe in forward thinking and thinking into the future because that is what it's all about. And I'm going to talk to somebody who is building his very own empire, his very own future this very second. He's an immigrant, a dear brother, no other than Sekou Clark. Right now, he's in the great state of Florida. He's an immigration lawyer, personal injury lawyer, and he's a badass entrepreneur, folks. That's just what it is. Sekou, welcome to the VIP show, man.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on this platform with you.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, and thank you for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. This is a question. Let me start by this. You know, because this is the question that I love to ask my guests. I would say this is my favorite question. And my podcast vary, but this one question I probably ask to every single person. Okay, and it goes like this: who was Sekou Clark, the little boy, before all the fame, before all the successes, before all the money? Who was Sekou Clark, the little boy, growing up?
Sekou Clark, the little boy, was full of energy, always in a creative space, and always running. Those were the three big things. Like, full of energy, my mom and dad always told me, like, I was nonstop, and I was always trying to just run all over the place. They had to hold on to me tight, and they said I was always a creative. I'd always be changing outfits, pitching to them, trying to sell stuff, trying to convince them to buy stuff. So that definitely sums it up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Were you, and I'm curious because you say always running, and I think your parents were right because you're still running, brother, and you're still doing a bunch of things at the same time.
Yeah.
Were you athletic? Did you play any sports?
Yes. So I did track and field. Both my parents were athletes and coaches at some point. And track was a huge part of my life. I mean, I still run today, but that's how I got to the U.S. I got to the U.S. on an athletic scholarship to University of Florida, Go Gators. I ran professionally for a little bit. So I ran for, to this point, more than half of my life.
Wow. No, that's amazing, man. And, you know, let me follow up with a question just about sort of that immigrant story, right? I'm an immigrant myself. I was born in Venezuela. And I'm a big believer in the immigrant mentality, you know, and I'm biased, obviously, because I'm an immigrant. But I really do believe that immigrants, you know, they just come to this country to work hard. We have such a powerful drive and conviction. Would you say that you being an immigrant, right, from the great island of Jamaica, mm-hmm. Would you say that being an immigrant has made you a successful businessman and an entrepreneur?
100%. I mean, it's twofold. One, growing up in Jamaica, you know, a developing nation, has definitely set that entrepreneur mindset, you know, in terms of anything that you want, you have to make it and create it. And then most importantly, execute to get it, right? And, you know, resources are limited. So the biggest resource that you have is your mind and your talent. So being an immigrant from Jamaica, then being able to take that into the U.S., where now there's, in my mind, abundant resources to use those tools, such as creating and executing, you know, in a space where once you execute, you will see the benefits and you will reap what you sow.
Yeah, no, it's so very important. I always tell folks, and obviously me having like a PR and marketing agency, you know, the mind and the knowledge is important, but I always tell folks, look, they can take away your car, they can take away your money, but they can never take away how you make people feel when you walk 100%. Into a room. You know, yes. So the branding is the one thing I really believe that it's everlasting. Okay. So, you know, you got a very successful law firm. You practice immigration law. You practice personal injury. What drove you to want to become a lawyer in the first place?
Well, you know, I had a mentor when I was in high school. His name is Patrick Robinson, and he really planted that legal seed in me. Patrick Robinson, well, I should say the Honorable Patrick Robinson, he is still one of the only, I'd say, well, he's still the only Jamaican judge in the war crimes court in The Hague, Netherlands. So,
wow.
And he was a mentor of mine, and he planted a seed of representing people from a legal aspect, and it never left, you know. And another thing that my parents have always said to me growing up, that I've always been the one to want to help, to be of service, and to also lead. So it only seemed right from that mentorship, and just from the way how my parents raised me, to be in a position to where I could lead, be of service, and to try to see the best in people. I always say it's a blessing and a curse. I usually don't see people for who they are, but I see people for who they can be. And I believe that's what representation is all about, you know, seeing people in a bad situation or an unfortunate situation and really trying to see them and trying to get them on the other side of that.
Yeah, I love that, man. Such a powerful line. You know, I want to see people not just of what they are, but what they can be, right? The potential of human beings, right? Because that's at the end, that's what we all are. Let me. I gotta ask you a political question. Not too political, but it's not about party or anything like that. I'm a former Obama official, so when Obama was president, there was a lot of questions about a potential immigration reform. In 2013, the Senate passed a bill. Republicans blocked it. Obviously, then Trump came into power. There were some talks of I wouldn't call it an immigration reform, but there was obviously the wall. There was other conversations. And then with Biden in power, we continue to talk about it, but nothing gets done.
At all, yeah.
Do you foresee, or are you hopeful that we'll see an immigration reform bill become the law of the land in your and my lifetime?
Honestly, I'll always be hopeful for that, you know, and I'll just stress the word hopeful. I mean, I'm not sure if it will be executed because, I mean, it's been decades. It's been, I think the last major reform was through the Clinton administration, if my mind serves me correctly. So, again, I'm hopeful. I've seen, you know, Biden has made some changes. Trump made some changes. But at the end of the day, what really needs to happen is there has to be a bipartisan approach, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It will not get done if there's a bipartisan approach. And it's something that's in need. And I think it will be beneficial to both parties and to the country overall. But something needs to be done. Something needs to be done to address the immigrants that are in the country that are undocumented, that don't have a status, who've been here for over 10 years, that pay taxes, that don't have criminal convictions, that are good people. Something needs to be done for them. And that makes up a majority of immigration right now, which is completely different from what the media portrays. And then there definitely needs to be something about the border. Something has to be done where that's concerned to make sure that that is regulated and the borders are secured and we have the right people coming in, and then people know that they have to do it the right way, but also still maintain asylum and refugee status, which is what the U.S. was built on. The U.S. was built on being a place to home refugees, people who are fleeing their countries from whether it's political destruction or just seeking a better life. You know, so there has to be a balance between both, keeping it secure, but also staying true to what the Constitution was built on and what the country was founded on.
Yeah, no, it's I couldn't agree with you more. And I'll say one. I'll add one thing. And you said something so important. What do we do with the millions of people that are already here in the country undocumented? And one of the things that I tell folks who say, well, you know, there's some bad people in that mix, which is a minority, but you know, there are some criminals in there for sure. But again, it's a very small minority, and the FBI proves it, you know, time and time again after different studies. But I tell folks, look, if we legalize the good ones, it's gonna be a whole lot easier to go get the bad ones, right? Inside that mix of people, right?
Exactly. And I mean, this is where I just don't understand it from the state level or even from the federal level. I mean, you legalize, a population which makes up, I'd say, up to 30% of each state, of most states, you know, people who are already here working, you know, people here who are already contributing to the infrastructure. Why not make them legal? You know, because at the end of the day, you'll keep them illegal, right? It's going to drive down wages, and it's going to create even more of a bad economic crisis in terms of people not getting the right amount of pay and people passing over U.S. citizens and permanent residents because there's an immigrant that can work for less. And then you open the door for people being mistreated. You open the door for people being human trafficked. So why not resolve that issue? Create a criteria to where, okay, if you've been here for, if you're in the country and you're undocumented for a certain amount of time, you don't have criminal convictions that are violent or a danger to society. I mean, let them do it the right way.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And I couldn't agree with you more. Let them do it in the right way. Folks, you're listening to the VIP show. We are here with Sekou Clark, an immigration entrepreneur and personal injury lawyer, talking about politics, talking about the immigrant mentality. And now we're going to talk a little bit about business. So, Sekou, you have something called the Business Immigration Incubator. Talk to me about that. I'm curious, what does the incubator do?
Oh man, I'm so excited about this program. It's an initiative that I've wanted to develop and roll out for years. So in a nutshell, what the program is it is closing the gap for immigrant entrepreneurs, right, who they need access. They need access to experts. They need access to a space where you have a collaborative environment. It provides access to people who just need a place to work, a place to meet, a place to pitch ideas. And there's a huge gap for that, you know, because I see so many immigrant entrepreneurs that, I mean, they have the resources, they're talented, but they don't know compliance. They don't know tax law. They don't know how to set up a trust. They don't know how to form an LLC, right? They don't know how to apply for grants. And then most of all, they don't know how to use their resources, such as purchasing real estate or purchasing a business or bringing employees here. They don't know how to use that to then gain an immigration benefit, which benefits them and benefits the state and the U.S. So that's the gap that the incubator fills, right? We're going to have experts. We're going to have shared workspace, and we're going to have mentors and coaches.
That's amazing, man. Good for you and to your firm for, you know, breaking ground, right? In new approaches, right? In the way that we help folks, that's amazing. I think that's what makes you guys different. If you were maybe talking to young entrepreneurs, right, or maybe even you were talking to the young Sekou, 18 years old, right, and you know, not maybe, you know, I wasn't the most well behaved 18 year old. I'm not gonna get into stories today, but if you had to tell yourself, and even young entrepreneurs, a piece of advice that you wish someone told you, right? Maybe they didn't get to do it, and now that you're older, you've learned. What would that piece of advice be?
It would be take more risks, right? Take more risks in terms of trying a new business that even if it doesn't make sense to you, try it. Take the risk to also meet new people, to get involved in different networks, because without the different networks, your mind will not grow, right? Mm-hmm. You won't create what you don't know. So it would definitely take more risks. Don't be afraid to try something because you think it may fail. Yeah, that's what I would tell.
Yeah, I love it, man. Risk taker. That's what it's all about. Let me get a little deep here and ask you a question. When Sekou Clark is no longer on this physical world, this physical earth, what type of legacy do you want to leave behind?
I want to leave a legacy of each one, reach one, each one, teach one, right? I want to leave a space behind and a mindset behind is to that once you develop, once you create your soapbox, your anthill, your kingdom, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Teach the other person that's behind you. Teach the other person that's you know you see coming up and bring them up with you. Because the biggest thing that I've learned is if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you do it together. And that's mm-hmm. one thing that is missing in my community and in the immigrant community. So that is what I really, really want to change is that collaborate, teach the next one behind you.
I love that. I love that. No, so very important. And I think immigrants have to do that, a whole lot better, right? I think some of us just kind of, once you become, you know, legal or once you kind of got your stuff together, you forget about the rest. Not everybody, but I think we ought to do a better job. And Sekou Clark is helping us with that, leading the way. Talk to me about expansion. I know you guys are opening new offices. Talk to me about Sekou Clark Law Group, right? Where is it 5 years, 10 years down the line?
In 5 years, 10 years down the line, we just purchased our first building. It was so cool. I got a letter from the mayor, Buddy Dyer, you know, congratulating me on purchasing the building. Didn't even know that it was regarded as it's in the downtown historic district of Orlando. So that was huge for us. And we want to do more. You know, we want to be in more cities to create access. So this, I mean, we started in Orlando, mm-hmm. But now we're fully rooted. All right. We have offices in New York, Panama City Beach, and New York, Panama City Beach, Orlando, and Kingston, Jamaica. And within the next six to eight weeks, we'll be rolling out a new office in Bogota, Colombia. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because as you know, that's the gateway of South America. True. And we want to be on every continent, creating access. That's the goal and that's the vision. And we'll also be in South Florida extremely soon.
I love it, man. Very, very cool. And congrats to you, man, on all your success. Sekou, before I let you go, if people want to work with your firm, they want to learn from you, where can people find you?
They can find me across all social media platforms with the handle at Attorney Sekou, which is Sekou. So it's at Attorney Sekou. They can find me on clarklawgroup.com. And I always remember the Clark has an E on it. So clarklawgroup.com. And our number is 407-295-2138. So really easy. Any social media platform at Attorney Sekou or S Clark Law.
There you got it, folks. Thank you so much. Sekou Clark, everybody. I appreciate you coming on the show, brother. Once again, congrats on all your success. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot, brother.